Welcome to the podcast of MotorWeek, television's original automotive magazine. MotorWeek is made possible by AutoValue and Bumper to Bumper and TireRack.com. Here's your MotorWeek podcast host, John Davis.
Thank you, Alec Webb. I am John Davis, and welcome to a very special edition of our MotorWeek podcast, number 319, coming to you on the press day of the 2024 Chicago Auto Show. I'm here with Jessica Ray, our digital producer on MotorWeek, and Jessica and I are going to give you pretty much an almost live play-by-play of what's been going on here on press day. Now, why are we here? Well, Chicago, as Jessica knows, normally one of the big U.S. auto shows in the spring, a little bit smaller this year because Stellantis, which is Ram and Jeep and Chrysler, decided not to be here at the last minute. This is typical of what's going on, some of the brands pulling out of the auto show. So it's a little smaller this year. However, I don't know about you, I'm still pretty impressed on how many vehicles they have downstairs. They've got 800,000 square feet of space.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of brands on display. So for the consumer, maybe it will not be that big a disappointment. It's been a little bit of a disappointment for the press since there aren't as many new reveals as we expect. But I bet they have a pretty darn good auto show.
Yeah, I mean, granted, it is smaller. We're usually in two halls and now we're in one.
Right. But they did expand it.
It did expand it.
It was usually, and to put it in perspective, folks, usually in two halls, they have over 1 million square feet of floor space, if you can imagine that. How many big box stores could you put in that?
Right.
Now they're down to one hall, expanded, so it's about 800,000. My feet are telling me that it's still plenty big.
True, that's right. There, you can walk around, and there's a lot of product here.
Yeah.
And I would say a lot of quality vehicles here.
And the reason that we come here every year and have been doing so for many decades is we present our 2024 Driver's Choice Awards at this show. Not only does it coincide with our digital production that's up on our website and up on YouTube, but we actually hand out the awards to most of the manufacturers here. So that's what Jessica and Dave Scrivener and myself have been doing for most of the day. And while we were doing that, Jessica was going around shooting all the new vehicles that we'll get ready for an upcoming edition of MotorWeek. So let's talk about some of the new product we saw.
You said all.
Yeah,
and I know.
Well,
generous.
You know, we're being generous. But we have to remember that even though some of the vehicles shown here today are not new to us, that we've seen them in press settings and some of them we've even tested, they are new in Chicago and the folks here have not seen them. But there are a few vehicles here that nobody has seen before today.
Correct. Yeah.
And the first, we have to go to Kia first.
Yeah, because they did the big press conference today, which two models from Kia, which was kind of surprising a little bit.
Yep.
I think one was actually a little bit more surprising than the other. But something we were expecting was an updated Kia Carnival MPV.
Which is their SUV-like, call it a minivan.
It's a minivan.
It's
a minivan. I mean, it's got the doors.
So it's a block, a block with two sliding doors.
Yeah, and obviously, and then, of course, the, which I was kind of surprised at, because they kind of, we weren't sure if they were going to do away with this model, but
we have
an updated K5.
Which is their midsize sedan.
Yeah.
And a very, very good midsize sedan, I should say.
Yes, and it's such a shame because I actually just saw one on the road the other day and I thought to myself, like, gosh, I wish I saw these more.
Because if you're in the market for a car, okay, you've got diminishing choices. And a lot of people will gravitate quickly to the Accord or the Camry. Great cars. The Accord's our pick for family car of the year for driver's choice. But they shouldn't overlook the K5.
No. I mean, it's incredibly sporty.
Right.
I think it goes on more on the sportier side than your typical, like, Camry or your Accord. Those are appliances, quote unquote, you know. But the K5.
Shame on you for saying that.
The new Camry's all hybrid.
Yeah, I know.
But so, but the K5 always was very sporty, and that's kind of its charm.
Yeah.
And what sets it apart from other vehicles in that segment, because that is, I mean, it's not an overloaded segment these days, certainly because the sedans are dying just in general. But it's also competing against its cousin, the Hyundai Sonata.
Right.
So it kind of lives in a little bit of a sportier vein, which it they also offer a GT version of it, which has, I think, almost 350 horsepower.
For people that aren't familiar with the K5, it used to be called the Optima.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. I kind of forgot about that for a second.
The thing that got me about the Carnival, and we had a long-term Carnival and really loved spending a year with it, they have a V6, but they have added a hybrid option,
which
1.6 liter. That, to me, that's huge, because can you think of any vehicle that should be hybridized more than a minivan?
And specifically like that minivan.
Yeah.
Like when that came out, I loved everything about it for the most part, except for the fact that I was not getting the fuel economy that
got
I would
have
wanted.
Yeah, about 23, 24.
I remember maxing out in our long term at like 28 miles per gallon.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
And that's like, you know, optimal, you know, driving situation.
Conditions.
So, yeah, now we don't have any, they didn't say any specs of like what the miles per gallon is going to be for this hybrid. But if you go off of like, it's probably the similar powertrain that's in the Sorento,
right,
that I think gets 34,
I was
going to
say,
if they top
30, I mean, I don't know what the Sienna gets.
36. That's a 36 combined.
So it may not quite reach what the Sienna does, but still it gives you another non-plug-in hybrid option in this minivan market. And I think if there's something, I don't know what marketing meetings at Kia and Hyundai go about, but they have to be, where is there a niche that we can get into that's not filled and really make some noise? And they keep doing that.
Yeah, and I think it gets updated styling as well, which, I mean, I thought it was a good-looking vehicle.
I think it's smoother
before. Yes, it's definitely smoother. It kind of gives that more futuristic-y vibe that the EV9 has.
I agree with that.
So it's kind of like,
which is their three-row SUV, EV.
The all-electric one, yeah. So, but I think with how successful the Sienna has been, that this was a no-brainer to put this powertrain in there.
So beyond that, when we look around the floor and see what else is new, there wasn't a great deal, but one that did stick out, only because it was actually revealed to the press last week, and here we are in Chicago, is a revamp, a reface, mid-cycle update, whatever you want to call it, of the Ford Explorer, highly popular mid-size SUV, 2025 models here, gets fresh outside, gets some technology updates inside. But I was surprised, in a way, to see that they have dropped their hybrid edition, except for police, the police model. They said they didn't sell that many, like 5%.
Yeah,
so,
and the fuel economy wasn't that great, stellar.
Yeah.
And they also just didn't market it. But it's the same way.
Most
like,
people didn't know that they even offered it.
Because even like the Ford Escape, like I almost never hear
which
them
is
really
a good
touting
hybrid, you know,
the hybrid
compact.
or the plug-in hybrid versions of the, you know, and but not to say they're not good, like they are good.
Yeah.
But so I think in the same way, like the Explorer hybrid just sort of fell off a little bit. And, you know, they also still offer the V6 option on the ST, which is nice. I don't think the powertrain doesn't really change at all.
I don't think it gets much of anything.
But, they just sort of refine the exterior a little bit. It still looks very
similar. Still a hugely popular vehicle. And, of course, it's also now the number one police pursuit vehicle. I don't know about you, but every time I see an Explorer in my rearview mirror, I slow down.
Well, I do that. Except for they did change the grills.
Yeah.
So now at least you can kind of tell.
Old
you're like,
versus
oh,
new.
Like, oh, gosh. Okay, wait. That's just a normal person driving that Explorer and not a cop. But one of the, I think, interesting things about it, too, is the fact that it does get Blue Cruise.
Yeah.
Which
why don't you explain what Blue Cruise is?
It's a hands-free driver assistance system that Ford offers that has trickled down upon, I think it was, I don't remember, what was it first on?
Well, it was on the Mach-E, but was it
F-150
on the F-150 first?
It might have been on the F1.
Anyway, yeah. In case you're not familiar with Blue Cruise, it's similar to Super Cruise at GM. Mm. It uses a map-based system to tell the vehicle where to steer. So the maps are actually stored in the vehicle, and then it follows the maps rather than relying totally on external sensors. So it's one self-driving system that you really can take your hands off the wheel.
Yes, like legally you are allowed to not have your hands on the wheel. You have to be paying attention, but you don't have to have your hands on the wheel. But so it's kind of cool to see it finally like trickling down into some other products from Ford.
Now, our car of the year this year, our best of 2024, went to the Ford Mustang, the seventh generation. Folks here in Chicago have not seen it before. We just finished testing the newest model of the Dark Horse at Roebling in Savannah, Georgia. America's original pony car is now America's only pony car. And I have to admit, there were, even among the press people, there was quite a crowd around it because they keep doing two new iterations of it here we haven't even seen yet.
Yeah.
The one concept, though, at the show was unexpected to me, and it was over at the GMC truck booth, and it's a tricked-out Hummer.
Yeah, they paired with Earth Cruiser,
right,
which essentially is like a company that will come in and just like build the ultimate overlander. And when I – like, this is not just like putting – a top on a Tacoma. This is a full-on, like,
it's like a RV built in,
pretty much.
Yeah.
So you have like the, it's built on a Hummer EV SUV.
Right. So you got 6,500 pounds to start with.
Yeah, well, more than that, because it's like.
Well, before you add anything on,
sure. So it's like the front seat's normal, the rear seat is normal, but where like the trunk cargo area is like a full on like kitchenette.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And then also like a sleeping surface and a roof. There's a rooftop
tent.
It
sleeps two, I think.
Oh yeah,
I think that's. What
I don't.
They say.
I don't think more than two should be up there.
Yeah. It might be pretty cozy even for two.
A lot of cozy. Yeah. But, I mean, it's just, it had like, what else did it have? Like these, on the side, it had all of these like emergency rope and toe straps and first aid kit. Like, and that was like on a storage container on the side.
Yeah.
Had, the thing is like, it has like running water. There is a toilet in there.
Yeah.
There's a shower.
I've never seen, I mean, I'm not a big RVer, and I know in RVing you cram a lot into a small space, but this seemed to be a real effort. And yet it's a vehicle that, given the ground clearance and how rugged the Hummer is and everything else and the distance, you literally could go just about anywhere in it. So
yeah, I think it's a certain, I don't know how much it costs, but it probably
costs a lot of so you take
money.
$150 for the Hummer and you probably add another couple of $100,000. Who knows?
Yeah, it had like huge wheels and tires on it. It was pretty crazy.
I want to pause just for a second to thank the sponsors of Motor Week on public television stations around the country, Auto Value and Bumper to Bumper, and our longtime sponsor, TireRack.com. Thanks so much for being a part of Motor Week and showing your dedication to us. And you can catch Motor Week, of course, on your local public television station, also on our cable partner at MAV-TV and their schedule at MAV-TV.com. And by the way, why not just go out and upload the PBS or download the PBS app, and you can watch every episode of Motor Week for free.
Mm-hmm.
Frontier, Nissan, there was unexpected news there.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's like, it's kind of great to see Nissan doing like these little enthusiast things.
Now, this is their midsize truck, which is only a year old, I think.
No.
Is it 2 years old now? They just redid it.
Like 2021.
Really?
I think
it was. Time flies when you're having fun.
It was 21
so
or 22.
It was the redo that sort of has kicked off a series of redos among midsize pickup trucks, which have been gaining in popularity. But tell me about this new package they have.
So it's, I want to make sure I get it right. It's the Forsberg
Edition.
Which is essentially just like this really cool, like overlanding, like off-roading kit.
Do you get the theme here, everybody? That, you know, it's everybody wants to be tough and capable of taking on anything, even though they never will.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like it's basically like a Nismo
treatment.
Frontier.
Yeah.
Which
I
is
think
really,
that's accurate.
It literally has Nismo all over it. Like on the roof, I think it's like a roof rack or, and on the rocker panels, on the wheels, it says Nismo. On the exhaust.
Which is Nissan's performance division.
It says it's Nismo. There's Nismo all over this thing.
Right.
And so it's just, it's super beefy. Like I said, wheels, you get like a different exhaust on it. You get upgraded suspension.
I think it's the most, it's easily the ruggedest Frontier they've ever done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It, and shows that, you know, while they've watched particularly GM with the Chevy Colorado and GMC Canyon, keep beefing up their trucks for off-road use. It's sort of like saying, hey, wait a minute, guys. You know, we can do this, too.
So. And this was kind of inspired by a SEMA build that they had done. So I think that's really cool that, you know, it's almost like SEMA is kind of like a fantasy.
Right.
And it's kind of cool that they're able to, like, translate that into something that a consumer can buy. So, no, I think it looks really cool. And not to say, like, you know, the Frontier is kind of like a what I would call like slept on, which just means it's like not given enough credit as a, in that class.
And it's, I've rented a couple just by accident and I was surprised how good they ride, how powerful the powertrain
is. Got a V6 under the hood, like
which
a naturally aspirated.
In
that class,
mid-sized trucks.
There's nothing else in that class other than the Ranger Raptor that gets a V6.
That's right. You're right.
At least now in 2024.
And while we were at Nissan, they had one other unexpectedly tough-looking vehicle, and that was the special edition EV, their Aria EV, the pole-to-pole model, and that I did not expect that to be here. You want to kind of give us a nutshell of what that's all about?
Essentially,
if for anyone that's worried about EV range, I think this was an attempt to say you don't have to worry about too much.
So basically a couple, like, took an Aria from the South Pole and drove it to the North Pole. I mean, granted, you know, there's not a one path that gets you there.
Right.
Of course, you have to take, you know, ship it sometimes. Right. But for them, they drove, I don't even know how many thousands of 10,000 miles,
something
more
like
than that, in that Aria. I mean, and this thing is like the gnarliest looking Aria I think anybody could ever build. It's got huge wheels.
If you know what a Hummer EV looks like, this looks like their version of a Hummer EV.
It's like a little baby. It's like a little baby. Yeah. It's got, they beef up the fenders on it. And also their aim was like on sustainability and stuff.
Right.
So they tried to, I think for the most part, they charged it in like sustainable ways.
Mm-hmm. Solar panels.
Like they, I think for a fair amount of their trek early on, they were actually towing a generator with them for this, like a solar situation for that aspect of it. So, I mean, it's just really cool that they were able to do, I mean, granted, they drove through the continental United States, but, you know, they're at the poles, which is frigid, freezing
cold.
There
are not chargers at the poles, even remotely.
I mean, clearly they had a team with them, you know.
Yeah, this was not like one vehicle out by itself.
Yeah, and it was.
But still, I think it's a pretty amazing accomplishment.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, and to do it in an electric vehicle, I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Kind of proves that, like, you know, not to say that.
Under the right circumstances.
Under the right circumstances.
When you do your homework.
Yes, yes. Because we were just talking about it on another podcast about, you know, everybody with getting anxious when they live in cold weather places with EVs. So, super, super cool. Yeah. It took them a long time. I want to say it took them months to do this.
Yeah.
But you can look it up.
Pole to pole.
Aria,
Nissan
Aria. And you can like look up their journey, and they're on Instagram and stuff.
There's tons of video on YouTube as well.
Yeah, they really document it. Pretty cool stuff. Yeah.
So what are we missing? What else do you think that you saw that you would want to make sure, even if people didn't come to the show, that they should know about? There are a lot of driving simulators here. There's a big track where people of all stripes get a chance to get behind the wheel of electric vehicles.
You can ride on the Moto Compacto.
Ah,
here.
Why don't you tell our audience what that is? They may not have seen it on the show yet.
Yeah, well, if you haven't seen it on the show, or
this is Honda.
I'm gonna say we did talk about it on another podcast, but
that's right. We did. You're right.
If you didn't listen to that one, basically it's a little e-scooter, a foldable e-scooter that folds into this little like.
It looks like a large briefcase.
Yeah, a large briefcase. It's like 40 pounds.
Yeah.
And so it folds and unfolds and goes up to like 15 miles an hour. And basically it's just like a really fun little scooter. And so they have a little track here that you can test drive some Moto Compactos, which I think is so awesome.
Because yeah, that is. And if you haven't seen it in action, there are lots of videos out there, including one with Jessica riding around at our studios on it.
It was so much fun. Yeah. Like, you can't not have fun. And if you go on our Facebook, John, we have a video of John sitting on one.
That was it, though, folks. I couldn't sit on it and put my feet on the pegs at the same time.
It's
not exactly made for my stature.
I'm
not sure I bend that much anymore.
We had a bunch of comments that were like, oh, it's definitely made for her.
Yeah.
Like when they saw me on it, which it, you know.
Well,
it fit very
like
well
on
it.
Tailor made.
Fit. But, you know, also here, Escalade IQ is here.
And that's the first time that has been shown in Chicago. And they actually have it on a test track.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't drive it, but you can ride along inside it.
And, you know, they got the Land Cruiser here. That's like out front in Toyota, which is great to see. And then kind of going back to the Mustang, they have the Mustang GTD.
That was I was sort of making reference to that because no sooner did they come out with the Dark Horse than they've got more special editions up their sleeve.
I mean, granted, that one is like a $300,000 special edition, but it's really cool to see. It's just like a gnarly looking race car.
It's got real side vents. Anybody that's a Mustang fan knows that Mustangs have toyed around with fake side vents for decades, but it's got real ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there's still definitely plenty to see at this show. I think the manufacturers that are here brought some of their best. This wasn't like it's not an afterthought. They brought some of their their best vehicles.
And even though they didn't have something new, I want to give kudos to Subaru.
Yes.
Subaru has by far the nicest, most elaborate exhibition here.
Yep.
You think you're in a jungle. It's huge. They've got all their vehicles on display. I know they're going to do their whole thing with canines this week that the show, or 10 days that the show is open here in Chicago. But, you know, they did not pull back from auto shows. They have a grand display. And if you are a Subaru fan, and there's plenty out there, if you're in the area of the Chicago Auto Show, come see it because they've got a lot to show you.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think they have the best display.
Easily.
Because it is like encompassing.
Yeah.
And
you don't feel like you're in a big auto show
Correct.
Hall when you're there.
It's super cozy.
Yeah.
It harkens back to their mission, which is, you know, they know what their buyers are, who their buyers are. And like John said, they have the dogs out here. The Subaru Loves Pets, which is, I think, like a nonprofit arm of Subaru that basically pairs with local animal shelters. Now, specific to the auto shows, that's what they do. So they'll bring dogs out here, and they will literally get adopted by people coming to visit the auto show.
And one of our compatriots last year, and I won't embarrass him any further, who lives in Detroit, he actually took one of the dogs that was here last year home with him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, and so that's just one, and that's just like one thing that Subaru does. And they are even smaller shows.
Yes, they did in Washington.
They did it in the D.C. auto show. Yeah. And I should mention, you know, it's not just here at the auto shows. No. They also do it. They pair with like local dealerships. And
local animal shelters all around the country.
They home tens of thousands of dogs every year, which is or maybe pets every single year, and it just goes back to their mission. I love their display, and everybody loves going to see the dogs.
Absolutely.
The puppies.
Do we miss anything?
I think that's about it.
I don't have the dates in front of me, but if you basically are in the Chicago area.
It's the 10th through the 19th.
10th through the 19th. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I should have had that sitting right in front
of
me,
right.
But I didn't. Yes, here it is, February 10th to the 19th, or you can go online at chicagoautoshow.com. Thanks to everybody here in Chicago that has made our experience with Motor Week such a terrific one, as they do year after year. I want to thank our advertisers for Motor Week, the television series, Auto Value and Bumper to Bumper, and also TireRack.com. If you're wondering where you can watch Motor Week, go to our Motor Week website, motorweek.org. Put in your zip code and your local PBS station. Time and days will come popping up. There's a tab at the top that says Watch Motor Week. Or you can hop over to mavtv.com and see when our cable partner, MavTV, airs this. And, of course, you can always go to youtube.com/motorweek for all of our episodes. Not episodes, but all of our segments. There's like 500 or 600 of them, everywhere from road tests to FYIs to Over the Edge to all of our car care. And then finally, and most importantly, if you are used to watching on a digital device, either your phone or tablet or digital TV, and you really have cut the cord, don't forget to go out there and download the PBS app. If you do that, you can watch all of the great PBS programming, including all of the episodes, recent episodes of Motor Week, for free.
So remember, that sounds good to me.
Download the PBS app.
I can't believe you said all that without me writing it down. Okay.
Sometimes
he did all that
the little
gray verbatim.
Matter is
wow.
Still functioning.
No, but it was like it was pretty close to like what I usually write down.
Thanks to Bob Mixter, the creator of our podcast. Thank you, Jessica Ray, for being not only on the show, but being the producer of the podcast. To all of you out there, thanks very much for being a part of Motor Week.
You have been listening to the podcast of Motor Week, television's original automotive magazine. Motor Week is made possible by Auto Value and Bumper to Bumper and TireRack.com. For additional information on podcasts, videos, and showtimes, visit our website at motorweek.org. And watch Motor Week, television's longest-running automotive magazine series, each week on your local PBS station.